Hello, everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. We are here today with a preview for the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, otherwise known as the Imola Grand Prix. Or if you've been watching or seeing all of the F1 memes this week and you want the full name, it is technically the Formula One MSC Cruises Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia-Romagna 2024.
That's a mouthful.
Indeed. And it switches from like English to Italian, one word in English, and then back to Italian.
Made in Italy.
Yeah, it's confusing. So stick around for that and then wait till the end of the episode because we have not one, not two, but three epic interviews from our time with Red Bull in Miami. We have one-on-ones with the Alcubasi sisters, F1 Academy drivers Hamda and Amna, and the one and only Alpine skiing legend, Lindsay Vaughn. So let's jump in. I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. I'm so excited for you guys to hear all interviews, but talking to Lindsay Vaughn was so surreal. I mean, she's just an absolute legend. And we did ask her a question of what it was like to be dominant, similar to how Max is right now.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. But some background on the race. So this is the first European race of the season, also first of two Grand Prix in Italy, with the second being the Italian Grand Prix at Monza in September. This week, it's held in Imola, as Chessa said, which is a town in the northern Italian region of Emilia-Romagna. Last year's race was actually canceled due to extreme and dangerous flooding in the region. This was very sad, very shocking. The rains were deadly last year. About 10,000 people also had to be evacuated. F1 donated €1 million to the relief fund. And big shout out to Yuki, who spent a lot of time there last year helping clean up. And I'm sure there were others as well. But Yuki was definitely one of the ones who stuck around for a long time. So shout out to Yuki. But this year, as of the time we are recording this, there are some thunderstorms predicted for Sunday. So we hope they're nothing like last year and that everyone stays safe, but excited for the first European race of the season.
Let the Euroleg begin.
Kind of.
And then we go back. And then we go to Montreal, but then we go back. So this circuit is on the shorter side, 4.9 kilometers, 63 laps, and only one DRS zone. Tiggy, you'll be happy, but the lap record is still held by Lewis Hamilton from 2020. And this circuit is really unique for lots of reasons. One, it runs counterclockwise, so that's extra G-force on the driver's necks. It also has a decent amount of elevation changes, so there's some hilly track sections. And as a spectator, it's amazing to watch. But not only is it hilly and has hilly sections, there's also a lot of complex curves, which makes it a very challenging and technical track. And there's a lot of trees, so sometimes shadows make it really hard to see the braking points and things when the drivers are turning. The top speed is around 190 miles per hour, so pretty quick, but notoriously hard to pass. So quali is going to be extra important this weekend. And then this is also one of those old classic European tracks where some of the turns have names. So if you're watching the broadcast this weekend and hear some of the names, so turn 2 and 3 are called Tamburello, turn 7, Tosa, and then turn 9, Pirandello.
I love those. I love hearing those on the broadcast too. They're
it's
so
great.
Fun. For some history, we do love the history of how this track was built. So at the time, it was part of a plan to address unemployment and stimulate the local economy, while of course catering to the growing interest in motorsport in the region. So Enzo Ferrari, the father of Ferrari, was involved in the project from the outset and was actually there when they laid the foundation in March 1950. So this race, unfortunately, has a lot of sad history as well. It was the scene of Ayrton Senna's deadly crash in 1994. When he went into the concrete barrier while he was leading the race. The previous day as well, Austrian driver Roland Ratzenberger had died when his car crashed during quali for the race. So Sebastian Vettel will be driving Senna's McLaren MP4-8, the last car he won a race in 1993, and display it for fans across the race weekend. So that will be beautiful, a very nice tribute, and so glad that Seb is doing that. This track also has a rich history in F1, hosting the first San Marino Grand Prix in 1980 and remaining on the F1 calendar until 2006, when it was dropped due to financial reasons and track renovations. But in 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, it made a grand return to the F1 calendar, hosting the, as we know and love, Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix as part of the revised schedule. And
say the whole thing, Tiggy.
The MSC Cruises made in Italy.
It's so long. Okay, so we'll talk about the last race, knowing that the last race was actually in 2022. And it did not disappoint. It was an interesting race. Chaotic weather conditions, which is very, I guess, normal this time of year in that region. And there was a safety car in the opening laps. Plus, it was also a sprint weekend 2 years ago. So the way it went down, the race started in the rain, and there was an early safety car when Danny had what they later deemed as just a racing incident with Carlos, and Carlos had to retire. And this was when Danny was still driving for McLaren, fun fact. And really the whole race, because of the weather, came down to a lot of different tires and strategy and pit stop strategy. And so it was basically a battle between Max, Checo, and Lando for much of the race. And then late in the race, Charles spun out. He hit the wall. He had a moment. He dropped to P9 because he had to pit for new tires and a new nose. And then he only was able to recover to P6 because it was so late in the race. So then in the end, we had Max winning, Checo P2. And then we had Lando rounding out the podium, which was really nice. And he essentially got promoted twice with Carlos DNFing and then Charles spinning out. So it was a bad weekend for a Ferrari is in summation.
Yes, but Lando, look at where we are now.
Indeed.
For the team, so Red Bull, upgrades are the talk of the town this weekend. Red Bull is one among many teams bringing updates this weekend. And when asked, the team said that these are planned upgrades and not a result of the successful upgrades that McLaren brought to Miami. So big news flash, Red Bull is not copying any team.
They were like so adamant at being like, we're on the front foot, like we're not reacting because other teams are doing better. But
so funny.
Yeah.
They're definitely, as much as you can say Red Bull is feeling the heat, they probably are feeling a little bit more pressure as other teams are getting closer to them on race pace. Ferrari's looked really good, McLaren now as well. So I still think Red Bull probably has it in the bag, but you never know. We have a long season ahead, and it's fun to see some other teams start to close the gap.
Thank God. Speaking of which, Ferrari, so they were strong competitors to the Red Bull pace in Miami, and they'll be bringing an upgrade to Imola, of course, trying to close that gap. And this is technically, or this is a home race for them, and it's back-to-back with the race in Monaco. So they definitely have some momentum. They think the car will do well in the what we are calling the European swing. So they're excited for that. And then the team has also replaced Charles Leclerc's race engineer. So starting in Imola, Javi Marcos will step down into a different role within the team. And then Brian Bozzi will step up as Leclerc's new race engineer. He was previously a performance engineer.
And for context, Javi has been Charles's race engineer since he started at Ferrari in 2019. And I think someone had commented on the newsreel asking if this is normal, if drivers switch race engineers a lot, or if it's more rare. I think it's definitely more rare, especially because it's such an intense, intimate relationship between driver and race engineer, and you have to spend a lot of time together. And it's risky, I think, to do it mid-season. So I think something definitely went down, and Javi and Charles have had some testy radio messages over the course of their time together. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely not a super common thing.
And it's good that they're promoting from within the team, though, because again, like your race engineer is like your little, he's in your ear, he or she is in your ear the entire race. And you want to be able to have that like intimacy and familiarity with someone. So promoting from within the team.
For sure. For Mercedes, so the team has announced significant upgrades for this weekend. So far this season, they've struggled with inconsistency, performance. These updates are aimed at widening, quote, its usable window. So basically trying to make the car more predictable and stable instead of having only super small windows when the car performs as expected. When we were listening to Lewis talk in Miami, that was kind of the big focus of his talk to everybody of like, this car has such a short window of performance. And so that's why I was super happy with my lap in quali, for example. And then when we got to the sprint, or I forget exactly which session.
Yeah, I think that was it.
When we got to the sprint, it was, you know, it was all gone, which is kind of crazy. You don't really think about cars being temperamental beasts, but Mercedes definitely is struggling with that. But the upgrades will come over the next few races. They'll be suited to tracks with lower speed corners, which definitely gets them set up well for Monaco and hopefully Montreal as well. So let's see what they can bring.
For McLaren, of course, the team is riding a massive high after Miami with Lando's first win and the team's first win since Danny won the 2021 Italian GP. So they'll be looking to keep that momentum going, keep the pressure on the other teams. Plus, we clearly saw the upgrades that they brought to Miami pay off. Like, you saw how well Lando was doing. So they will be looking to maintain that edge. And then, you know, all the other teams are also upping the ante with a development race. So they'll be fighting neck and neck in there. And then one thing to know is in Miami, we did see how well Oscar was doing at the beginning of the race. And he only had half of the new package in Miami. So he's going to have the full package this weekend and we'll fully get to see how the McLaren upgrades will shine.
It's been so fun to see the McLaren content and see the McLaren team celebrating and Lando as well. It's just, it reminds you how rare it is to have a driver have their first win, and especially someone like Lando after so many race starts. If you haven't listened to our Lando deep dive from Monday, definitely do so because it adds some more context to the whole ride and the whole journey. But yeah, it's been such a blast to watch all of this. For Aston Martin, although they only had minimal points in Miami, Alonso finished P9. He had a strong race given that he started in P15. So they had brought upgrades to Miami to help them translate quali pace to race pace. That seemed to help a little bit, but let's hope that they can also lock in strong quali sessions here since quali is so important in Imola. So we shall see, but fingers crossed for them.
For VCARB, the team did have a decent showing in Miami. So Danny got P4 in the sprint race, which was great. And then wait, we have to pause here. Did we talk about what your mom said to Danny in the elevator? She was like, good job on the first half of today.
So congrats Danny on the first half of your day.
So Danny only got P4 the first half of the day, and then the second half of the day, as Tiggy's mom noted, digressed a bit, but great for the team. And then Yuki finished P7 and grabbed some points for VCARBs. That's amazing. I think the big storyline or thing to look out for here is Yuki's real consistency as of late in showing up Danny and kind of like outperforming him. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
As a belated shout out, Mother's Day shout out to my mom. We've also received some DMs since being in Miami saying that they heard about the podcast from my mom just throughout the circuit. So she's putting in work. Thank you, mom. For Alpine, Ocon picked up his first points of the season in Miami. So very exciting. It was only 1 point in constructors, but that is something hopefully that gives them a little bit of momentum heading into the European leg. Ugh, it's been a tough ride for them, but I'm hoping for more. And I hope that Gasly can get up there as well.
Let's go. Yeah, I think it's also been a tough ride for Stake. They have no points. So Alpine only has one, but Stake has none. So they're looking, as they said in some press conferences this week, to reset and understand what went wrong after a tough weekend in Miami, which is like the only thing that you can say in a statement when you haven't done much all season.
Ugh, brutal. For Haas, K-Mag, coming off penalties galore from Miami, he'll definitely be a little bit on edge. He's racked up a lot of penalty points. He's only 2 points away from getting a one race ban. So could we potentially see Ollie Berman back in the car sooner than we think? That's possible. We'll get to the other Haas news around Gunther Steiner in a few, but yeah, some lawsuits ongoing there as well. Not super happy times.
And for Williams, actually lots to discuss here. So no points yet for the team, but Albon has had 2 P11 finishes. So let's see. And speaking of Albon, he just signed a multi-year contract extension with Williams. So he will not be going to Red Bull as many people had been speculating. Tig, what do you think?
I guess my first reaction to this was shock. Like, wow, this really? Was early to lock him in. Yeah, because we've been talking all season about how Albon was going to be the hottest driver on the driver market for 2025. To be fair, that was before we knew that Carlos lost his seat. But I do feel like Albon, we sort of like forgot about Albon as all the Carlos stuff has been happening.
That's true.
Some of the other seat movements, but I am actually surprised that Albon signed this early and a multi-year extension. I do think, as we've said before, there's definitely something to be said with being at a team that you can build upon, and Williams, they've taken a little bit of a step backwards over the last few races, but have had a stronger start to the season than they have in years prior. So I think it makes sense that Albon is the number one Williams driver. I think it definitely hinges on who joins him. If it's Kimi Antonelli, Albon is the perfect second driver for that team because he can sort of take Kimi under his wing and teach him all he needs to know. But yeah, I was surprised he signed so early. I was surprised it was multi-year, but in, you know, hindsight 2020, I think it definitely makes sense for both parties. Definitely makes sense for Williams, but yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that's why I didn't feel like when I saw it come up, I was like, oh, okay. Like totally makes sense. You're right that it did come a little bit early if we think that Albon being the hot ticket that he is had like some bargaining power, maybe it could have lasted a lot longer. But you can't discount the relationship with the team and the relationship with the principal. Like, I don't know. I think between him and Williams, there's a lot of really good chemistry. Like, he does seem like the face of the team. Him and James Vowles have a lot of amazing chemistry as well. And you can't discount that either. Like, I was looking today, like, they have this cute little, like, sit down that Williams posted about how the contract got signed. And Albon was like, yeah, I was, like, going to kiss Stingrays and Caymans. And, like, on the drive there, I had to stop and sign the paperwork. And James was like, yeah, I know. I was, like, sitting at the office waiting to go home. And you were being so slow, like, to sign the papers.
That's
so
hilarious.
They have some good chemistry. I think to me, it kind of feels like a no-brainer if they can get him, like, a great teammate. I think we've decided, Tiggy, the way that you were speaking makes it seem like you know that it's not going to be Sargeant.
I don't think you ever know anything in F1, but I do feel like if it's right now taking a bet on someone like Kimi Antonelli, who is rumored to be the next hotshot of F1, which is also always a bet, versus Logan, who has now had a season plus, almost a season and a half to prove himself. And granted, a lot of the stuff this year has not been his fault, but he just, I don't think, has performed in the way that would give Williams the confidence to give him a third season, which is unfortunate, but we still don't know. Well, you can never say
never. Don't want Kimi to go for 1 year and then leave. But I actually don't think Mercedes would take him right away in 2026. I think they'd give him like 2 years at Williams, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like with the new regulations, it's hard, maybe like do all the big changes at once. Like, everybody's going to be adjusting. So bringing Kimi to Mercedes with the new regulations versus.
I hate that for Williams though.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I think it's definitely interesting with Albon. Another chip has fallen into place, takes him off the driver market, which is super interesting. You wonder who's going to go to Mercedes. There are still so many things up in the air.
We shall see. In last little bit of Williams news, they have collaborated with Michelob Ultra on a new show called Lap of Legends, which is live as of Tuesday this week. So basically, using all sorts of technology, they've basically enabled Logan Sargeant to race against six of the greatest Williams legends of all time, like in a virtual race. So
yeah, they've taken the laps of all of these Williams legends on, I don't know if it's multiple tracks or one track, but they've basically mapped out those drivers' races, and Logan is racing against that time and those like racing lines, which is super cool.
Very cool. Okay, let's do our hot takes. I have to just say, I've never been more excited to watch a race. This is
wow.
No, this feels like a very optimistic race for me. It's the first time we've had a non-Max win without Max DNFing this season. So haters going to hate, but like a non-Max win on purely merit, maybe.
So you think lightning can strike twice?
Yeah, Tiggy, it wasn't lightning. That's the point. It was like purely merit.
Well, that's not 100% true. Not to take anything away from Lando, but Max
that's why I was like,
four damage.
Well, Max
was
the one.
It was his own fault.
It was his own fault. He's the one that went into the cone. So needless to say, I'm quite excited for it this weekend. So I'm going to say a McLaren and Mercedes in the top five.
Okay, exciting. I'm going to go really hot. I'm going to say a Charles win. So I do think lightning can strike twice, but it's about time for Charles to get something good here. I think being in Italy with Ferrari, Carlos has been more in the spotlight this season because he's had much more of a fire under him. But it's time for Charles to get something good. I'm gonna say he's going to win.
Okay, you might have just jinxed it, but I'll let you
isn't that it. What hot takes are for?
Yeah, that's why they never come true, and we hate ourselves every time we do a recap.
All right, for some news. So as we were mentioning, remember when Gunther Steiner sued Haas a few weeks ago for using his likeness after he left the team? Well, Haas is suing him right back. It was reported this week that Haas Automation, the parent company, is suing Steiner for alleged trademark infringements in his Surviving to Drive autobiography. Gunther was promoting the book yesterday or a couple days ago on Instagram for, I think, winning an award or something. So this is messy. It's going to be a ride.
Also, Surviving to Drive, maybe Drive to Survive has some issues with that too. Who knows? I'm literally sitting here as we're recording, seeing the book in my bookshelf and being like,
ooh. Yeah, same.
Okay, other news. If it wasn't enough for Ferrari to take Lewis Hamilton from Mercedes, they have now confirmed this week that they have signed the Mercedes duo, Jerome D'Ambrosio and Loic Serra. So Jerome is an ex-F1 driver who advised for Mercedes under Toto, and he will now be Ferrari's deputy team principal. And Loic Serra, he's an engineer who was Mercedes's platform director, and now he's joining Ferrari as the head of chassis performance engineering.
This is so interesting to me because, well, A, there's got to be some sort of poaching contracts with
for sure
Lewis and Mercedes. And I'm not saying Lewis is poaching, but Fred is definitely cooking. And
someone DM'd us and they're like, Don Fred strikes again.
Yeah. Which is fascinating to me because also, I mean, there are no friends in Formula One, but Toto and Fred are actually good friends, which is very interesting to me as well because Fred is. I don't know if you can call this cleaning house, but this is, it's feeling like it's trending that direction.
Ooh, cannot wait.
What, and what if Adrian Newey signs with Ferrari? This is going to be wild. Ferrari to the moon.
I hope that we can use the clip of you just saying that one day if it happens, because you're going to be a prophet. What with Lando win basically predicted by you, and then now that.
Well, every single one of my hot takes doesn't come true, so I have to get some wins somewhere, some dubs. After months of speculation that F1 is planning on developing a race in Chicago in 2026 or beyond, F1 put the rumors to bed this week and confirmed there are no current plans or agreements for a Chicago Grand Prix. This all sort of kicked off when it was seen that F1 had trademarked the F1 Chicago Grand Prix, but I do think F1 probably does that more generally just as sort of legal protection.
And to always keep a news story running, you know?
Exactly. I did see a funny meme of like the F1 calendar in 2027, and it was all US races. It was 26 US races. All
surprise, over F1 has turned into NASCAR. Other news items to wrap up. So as we've reported before, Brad Pitt is making an F1 movie, and the news is reporting this week that the movie's budget has reached $300 million, which means it's the most expensive movie ever made, even more than Avatar or Jurassic World.
What?
Yeah. And I feel like we've heard nothing about how the movie's progressing, when it's going to go. Like, it's probably just taking forever because, well, yeah.
We'll see. There's an F2 race this weekend as well. So as we were talking about Kimi Antonelli, the Mercedes F2 rookie and F1 hopeful, he'll be racing for Prema at this weekend's F2 race. We'll be looking to beat his best finish of P4. So all eyes will be on him after news that Williams requested a super license for him from the FIA a few weeks ago in Miami. Now, we don't know if that's just for him to drive in practice or if that's something more substantial, but definitely someone to keep an eye on at the F2 race this weekend. And with that, so excited for the race. We will chat with you all soon, and let's head on over to our incredible Red Bull athlete interviews. The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Women's health is so important and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. We are beyond excited to be here with alpine skiing legend Lindsey Vonn, a three-time Olympic medalist, including gold, the first woman to win 82 World Cup races, and one of only six women to have won World Cup races in all five alpine disciplines of skiing, and a huge Red Bull athlete and Red Bull fan. We're so excited. First off, you just did a hot lap. You're just out on track.
A little sweaty. It was amazing. I obviously love going fast. That's kind of my deal. So it's just fun for me, like being retired, to get the adrenaline going again. And every time I get a little dose of speed and adrenaline, I'm like, damn it, I want more.
Maybe you're an F1 driver in another life.
I mean, I wish it could be in this life, but you know.
Yeah, you never know. Still could. We've got drivers who are, who carry on forever.
So as a long-term F1 fan, how do you feel about this recent explosion of fandom?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, I've been, following F1 for probably 15 years, and all of a sudden, like, my friends from Minnesota who have kids are asking me about what's the rivalry between.
When you go to the race.
Yeah, well, it's like, what's going on with Lewis and, Max, and like, what's the rivalries like? And I'm like, you follow Formula One? Like, you're in Minnesota with two kids. Like, what? So, I don't know. I think that the perspective and the scope of the sport has totally changed since Drive to Survive. And I mean, Europeans have always loved it. It's just like the boom of the U.S., which I think is great. And, having all of these races in the U.S. is amazing. And obviously Miami is such a fun event. So love being here. I live here, so makes it a lot easier for me. I don't have to go all the way to Monaco.
That's super easy. So you were absolutely dominant in your sport through basically your entire career. And it's kind of similar to what we're seeing with Max Verstappen and Red Bull. And as a Red Bull athlete, how did you handle that pressure of being so dominant as a top Red Bull athlete?
It's just hard. It's hard enough to be number one. It's so much harder to stay number one. I think, everyone thinks that it's so easy. Once you start winning, it's like, obviously they're going to win. It's not obvious, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of teamwork, and everything has to fall into place every single time for it to work that well, to dominate that much. So it is, I think, one of the hardest things to stay dominant in any sport.
We talked about this a little bit already, but being an alpine ski racer, does the adrenaline and speed of F1, is that really what draws you in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've always loved the speed and adrenaline of driving, and pretty much all the drivers are adrenaline junkies, not just on the track. So we have a lot in common.
So much. I'm like, you're going to get hurt. Focus on not getting hurt for the race.
I know. Yeah. But the thing is, it's one of the most dangerous sports in the world. So I feel like they should be allowed to do other things that are less dangerous. Yeah,
that's true. They can handle high pressure situations. Exactly. So, of course, you're part of the Red Bull family, and Red Bull's so well known for bringing together such high caliber, high intensity athletes and having that community. How important was that for your career?
I mean, they started sponsoring me when I was 19 years old. They supported me so much. I mean, it goes so far beyond what a normal sponsorship looks like. I mean, they hired me a physical trainer and a physical therapist, and I wanted to learn German because German is a big language in our sport. So I would go to Austria and train with them, and then in between my workouts, I would have German lessons.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is so great.
Yeah. So they've been really, honestly, one of the biggest factors in my success in my career, just having that support. Because when you're with a federation, like with, Team USA, you don't always get the support you need, because there's usually one coach for every, 8 to 10 athletes. So for me to have, my own program and to be able to adapt, obviously based on my injuries, was amazing. It was really incredible. So very lucky.
Right.
That's amazing. And you do so much now. You work across sports, media, Olympic planning. Do you have anything, any highlights you'd love to tell us about?
Oh, I'm really excited for the Olympics in Paris. Yeah, I've been on the Olympic bid committee for Salt Lake City for 2034, which, you know, hopefully we have some news here soon if we get the games. Yeah, thank you. But yeah, we're, you know, working with NBC, and I have my own production company. I have my foundation. So I've got a lot on my plate, but, you know, since I don't have this adrenaline, I have to find other things to keep me busy.
And you're getting involved in sailing now, too.
Yeah, I'm on the board for SailGP for Team USA, which, you know, again, Red Bull has been a big sponsor for a long time. So I'm excited to, you know, partner with them and just figure out ways to expand their sport. You know, I think it's an amazing sport, but it's not very well known. I mean, this is a new league, obviously, and America's Cup's been around since forever. But this SailGP League is very new, so trying to help them bring awareness and help them with marketing and branding and athletes and budget and all the things. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Keeping you busy.
Yeah.
We're going to jump into some rapid fire. Do you have a mountain that's your favorite to ski just for fun?
Yeah, it's this place in Colorado called Three Forks. It's like a secret gem. Yeah. No one knows about it.
We're going to blast it.
Okay, yeah.
But good for you for not gatekeeping that.
No, I want everyone. I mean, not everyone, but you can come. So I approve. Yeah.
These two are really good skiers. I snowboard. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forgive
me?
You.
Would
it's
they
okay.
allow me there?
I'm friends with Sean White, so we're good.
Even better. Okay. So we talked about kind of like your need for speed. You're an adrenaline junkie. When you're driving just like regular day to day, do you drive like a civilian or do you kind of drive like you were an F1 driver wanting to push the limits here?
I mean, so I drive a Range Rover, and in the US, it's honestly really hard to go fast. Yeah. Like there's too much traffic, especially in LA or here in Miami. Honestly, the driving situation here is less than ideal. But I had a Jag for a while, an F-Type, and the nice thing about traffic is you can bob and weave a little bit, but in Europe, that's when I really put the pedal down. Yeah,
you get on the Autobahn and go. Yeah.
And you speak German, so
yeah.
Yeah, it's that is the nice thing about Europe is that they do follow skiing, so usually I can get out of speeding tickets.
In German, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, we can't give you a ticket. Okay, and last one, you're a big F1 fan. What's your dream race to attend?
I mean, I love Monaco. It's just a classic. I think it's one of the highlights of the entire circuit. I haven't really been to any of the night races, which I think would be really fun. But there's a lot on my list, so I don't know.
All right, we'll catch you at all of them.
At all of them.
Vegas.
Yes.
Vegas.
I've been to Vegas. Actually, that was a night race, but that was in the U.S., so
yeah,
it's different. Yeah. Different vibe. Yeah.
Singapore would be cool.
Yeah, Singapore, I think. Okay. We'll go there. Yeah, let's do there.
Well, thank you so much. This was incredible chatting. We're such big fans of all you do and your entire career. So thank you.
I appreciate it. I'll see you on Sunday.
Okay. We are here again. Well, we met you in Austin, but we're here with Hamda Akubesi. We're so excited. First of all, thoughts on Miami so far? How's it going?
I love it here. The vibes are amazing. It's hot like the UAE, so perfect for me.
Are you used to it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So you are the highest ranked returning driver from the F1 Academy 2023 season. What learnings have you taken from that first season into this season?
Honestly, last season I was thinking to move up. But then I had this opportunity with Red Bull, which is once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I was like, you know what, I'll go for it. And yeah, it's just been a good journey with them. I learned a lot. And coming from last year, we had great results, obviously, especially starting the season with an injury. And yeah, I think this race, we haven't started, this season we haven't started as well as we wanted to. But I'm sure we have our head up. The team is getting everything together and here for Miami, so we're more relaxed now, and hopefully.
You've got 6 more rounds.
Yeah, exactly. Time, so yeah.
There's a lot to come. Best teammate bonding experience so far this season?
We do a lot of TikToks together, so yeah, I would say that. Yeah, we do a lot of TikToks together, and we enjoy doing that, so yeah, definitely.
And it's early in the season, but do you have any special pre-race or race day rituals that you do?
I do a lot of things alongside my sister since we're always together. So we like to like share a playlist and we listen to music together, so that's one thing we always do.
Favorite genre? Yeah.
Genre? I like pop, like upbeat music, kind of, yeah. Something to get me going.
We're going to ask her that question too, and we'll see if she has the same answer.
She probably won't, but
So what is it like being part of the Red Bull family? Like, how special is that for you?
Yeah, it's honestly a dream come true. I always wanted to be part of an F1 team, and being part of Red Bull, like, they have done amazing achievements, especially recently. So being part of their family means a lot to me. And I learned a lot as well, especially sim sessions and stuff like that and training. And I didn't think of it as that much until I got into Red Bull and how important it is, nutrition, everything. So they have the full package, I would say.
Full package. Yeah. It's a machine. It's incredible. It's so cool. Okay, so now on to some rapid fire. What is your favorite thing about your home country, the UAE? What do you have to share?
I would say how safe it is, probably, because you could put your phone anywhere, leave, and come back, and it's still there. So I would say it's a very safe country. So
we live in New York, and if you lose your wallet, you're never getting it back. Like, no one cares.
Nobody leaves their phone on the table. That's for sure.
Definitely. What is your favorite thing about racing in the United States?
I like the vibes around, like how the people are so into it, the atmosphere. It's just very different in the U.S., especially also in Austin when we had the race last year. It was very different from all the other races, so yeah. I would say the vibes and the, yeah.
Seeing you all in Austin with your cowboy boots and everything, and Miami's.
Exactly.
Okay, we know you're quite young, but if you weren't a motorsport driver, what do you think you'd want to do as your dream job?
Anything with an engine, I think I would like to do, like, you know, the dune bashing? I would like to take people up dunes and stuff. That would be funny.
That would be so cool. Sign me up. I will come with you. And if you could drive any car down Ocean Drive in Miami, what would it be?
Oh, any car?
Yeah.
Oh, a Ford Raptor. I don't know why I would choose that one, but yeah, a truck.
There you go. Very cool. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. It's incredible to catch up again, and we cannot wait to watch you this weekend and the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anna, how's it going? We're so happy to have you here in Miami. How's the week been so far? How are you feeling?
It's been really good. I mean, being here in Miami, it's my second time. Last year, I was here before Austin, you know, just to settle down and relax. So coming back again is quite nice. The weather, it's almost like in Dubai, so it's like my second home.
Exactly. That's what Hamda said as well. Yeah. So you're returning for your second season. How has it been seeing F1 Academy grow? Now you all have F1 fully on board. What has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, it's like an upgrade from last year. Like last year, we didn't have live stream. F1 wasn't involved. We just had, you know, snippets of the race weekend. Now we have a whole stand of people. We have it being broadcasted live. We have F1 teams being involved in it. So it's really like a major upgrade, like a level up in a game, you know? So it's nice to see that we have also a lot of new faces and prominent racing drivers on the track. So I'm really happy that it's becoming more competitive.
100%.
It's so exciting. And you are one of the most experienced drivers on the grid. You've been karting since 2014. How do you think that experience helps you going into this season?
I think because I had an on and off season throughout my racing career. So like last year, before I went into F1 Academy, I was not racing for a year and a half. So going into F1 Academy was also a disadvantage because other girls had more testing than me. And coming again this season, everyone during the winter were training, testing, and for us, you know, it was more like to settle down back home, and we were still trying to find the budget to be able to do a championship. So I would say we're all at the same level in a way. Some girls have more experience, others barely had time in the car. But like I said, you know, the grid is very prominent. Everyone is like within a tenth off each other.
Wow. Yeah, we loved seeing like from the first race in Jeddah. It was just incredible how close you all were. It's going to be an amazing weekend.
It's such fun racing to watch. And we've also loved following along you and Hamda and Emily and all of your social content, your TikToks. What have been some of your favorite teammate bonding moments so far this season?
I mean, we do everything together. Like we go to the track, we go to the same hotel, we have dinner together. So it's like Emily's a part of the family, you know? Yeah. It's like I consider her
sister. That's amazing. And it's still a bit early in the season, but do you have any pre-race traditions or rituals that you have to do on race day?
No, I actually don't like following a routine. I like to do things spontaneously. So whatever comes to mind, whether it's, you know, listening to music or sleeping. So it's like one or the other, because yeah, when I stick to one thing like routine, I don't know, it just, it's out of my norm.
That's good. I feel like it's good to be flexible since race weekends can be so chaotic.
Yeah,
for sure. And so obviously you're part of the Red Bull family. What's that like? What does that mean for you?
I mean, it's always been a dream to be part of the Red Bull Junior team, and having Visa Cash App RB color on my car and the suit. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love the new color. I've always wanted to have a new livery where it's like pink, purple, you know, a mix of color. Yeah, I was always stuck to like orange or red. So it's like always a normal color. So I'm really happy I had that for this weekend in Miami. And yeah, I mean, I've always dreamt about it, and seeing this happen is like, you know, a surreal moment for me.
Our favorite thing, watching all the F1 Academy cars on track. They're all so different, so colorful, so fun. So we're going to jump into a little bit of rapid fire. So what's your favorite thing about your home country, UAE?
Oh, my favorite thing would be the wide roads.
That's something we need more of here in this country.
That's a good point. And what's your favorite thing about racing in the United States?
Racing in the United States, I would say it's sunny and has good food.
Yeah. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite chain or restaurant?
I order from everywhere. So it's like tacos, burritos, and then I know there's like a few sushi places around. Oh, they're amazing. I go to Surf's Club and they have the best food.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were not a race car driver, what do you think your dream job would be?
Ooh, I've always wanted to be like an entrepreneur, so like following my dad. Yeah, so I'm already starting to do that, like trying to build a business, trying to invest and stuff. So I'm already down that path. So if it wasn't for racing, I would probably be an entrepreneur.
Well, there's still lots of time. You have a bright future ahead. We'll all be following your journey. And so last one, if you could drive any car, road car, down Ocean Drive in Miami, what would it be?
Ooh, it would be a Porsche GT3 RS.
You knew that right off the top of your head.
In pink.
Okay, let's manifest that for you. We'll see you living at Ocean Drive. Thank you so much for your
time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.